grateful for your faithfulness, and all of this is part of our effort to continue to love God and love others without limits. And as we continue to do this online platform, I just want to add just a couple thoughts where we're going in the future. I mean, where we've been over the last 14, 16 months has really accelerated things that were already happening to our church and many churches around the world, literally. And yet, when we think about just where we're at here with this online presence, it's not going to go away. And in fact, we want to continue to leverage all that we can through this platform. That doesn't mean we're not going to continue to meet in the building. That's so important for us to gather. But that this online presence can actually be a tool to help you and us as the church provide you with opportunities to grow in your spiritual journey. And if you think about it, I mean, if we really hit the Wayback Machine to 1991, that's when the first website was launched on this thing called the Internet. And then, you know, a few years later, we were able to actually, through this amazing thing called Google, to put our questions in and get answers. And then in 2004, if you'll remember, we were able to start finding our friends on this thing called Facebook. And then in 2005, this platform here, YouTube, showed up. And then at a minimum, if we think about it, in 2007, Apple released this amazing device called the iPhone, and how that changed everything. And so as we continue to be the church, part of our responsibilities of growing up fully devoted followers, our website's going to become more and more important. And so I just want to point to a portion of the website that we've added for this current message series we're in on Bless. Just some practical ways of how you can live out each week's message. There's one landing page here for the whole series, and then with each week we're going to be adding just some ideas and maybe how you can live into being a blessing to your neighbors and to your friends. And so with that, as we continue to think about our digital strategy to meet the needs of a world that is far from Christ, that's in such need of answers to the most basic questions about why am I here, what is my purpose, and how can I live a fuller life? And so I hope you'll take advantage of these tools. We all know someone, or maybe we are that someone, who has a special knack for loudly singing the wrong lyrics to a song. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle to get the right lyrics down. In fact, if you are that person, why don't you raise your hand in the chat just so we know? And maybe perhaps there's someone you know that you'd like to point out that is that person. But when we mishear the lyrics to songs, it really is an easy thing to do. It's so hard sometimes, especially with modern music, to hear with clarity what it is being said. And yet even, it's interesting, all sorts of websites, as I began looking at this week, that track all these things. Great rock and roll songs from Creedence Clearwater Revival and from Queen. And there's a website of hymns that people misunderstand the lyrics of, partly because it's a generational thing. Usually it's the children. So, for example, this stanza, through many dangerous toys and snails. What song is that from? A young three-year-old was telling his grandma that they had just learned that song, and actually it's Amazing Grace, right? Through many dangers, toils, and snares. Or how about this one? The cattle are blowing the baby away. Well, you know, that's a great Christmas song from Away in the Manger, right? And the real lyric is the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. Or I thought this was interesting. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And it turns out that song was actually the grandfather in the home, as he taught his children to sing that song. Actually, he was an insurance agent, and so he just sort of left them lean on that one. The words are, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Or how about this lyric? They are wheat, but he is straw. Again, it's a great hymn that we all learn. Jesus loves me. And really the words there are, we are weak, but he is strong. If we're not listening closely to certain songs, they can really be confusing. And mishearing words doesn't just happen with song lyrics. It actually probably happens just with regular words in conversation. You may not know this, but there's actually a term for this. It's referred to as mongreen. And mongreen is basically a misheard word or phrase that makes sense in your head, but is in fact entirely incorrect. Now, this term, it actually came, it was coined in 1954 by an American author by the name of Sylvia Wright. And she was writing an article for Harper's Magazine. And she admitted that all her life she had misheard an English poem her mom had read to her when she was a child. She thought the poem was a tragic love story ending with the line, "They have slain the Earl O'Moray and Lady Mongreen." Now, turns out that the actual line was, "They have slain the Earl O'Moray and laid him on the green." Now, it's interesting, Wright, the author, was devastated to realize poor old Earl was all by himself in the end. And I think all of us can probably think of several of our own Mongreen moments, right? And when they are misheard lines from a song or a poem, they can be really funny. But what about the times when what we've misheard are the words of the people around us? Noted author David Augsburger writes, "Being heard is so close to being loved for the average person that they are almost indistinguishable. Listening to people, really hearing and understanding what they are saying, is a critical expression of love." And so the question is, how do we make sure we aren't mishearing people? Over the last 2 weeks, we've been in a series called Bless, How to Bless Our Neighbor, which is all about our mission as a church of loving God and loving others with no limits. How do we help people accomplish that task? And I want us to see, as we're leaning into this, that this idea is not just a mission statement for us to memorize, although we know it and we've got it on our t-shirts, it's on our website, we talk about it. It's not just the mission statement of our church, it's actually your mission. It's actually my mission, and it's our mission together. Most of the time we settle for being people who hope people find their way of loving God and loving others with no limits. And as we talked about last week, and I want to reemphasize this week, is that we need to be people who help people love God and love others. During this current series, the whole idea is really giving you some tools and also challenging us, one another, together, all of us together, to be people who actually help, not just hope. Through the years, we've found that the best way to help, the best way to live out this mission is to be a blessing. We just demonstrated that last night as we served at St. Luke's, and we've done that many times. We've done that through serving at the drive-thru Easter experience. We've done that through offering opportunities to our neighbors. We do that continually each week through our Pots and Pans ministry to be a blessing. Because as we looked at the last couple weeks, to be reminded that we are blessed to be a blessing. What we're seeing here in this current series is that BLESS is actually an acronym, and it stands for the five missional practices that are central to living out this mission that Jesus has called us to. Really, the idea and what I hope will come from our time in this message series is just some really practical ways. It's our intention to challenge each other to identify the people and the places that we've been called to bless. Last week, we challenged you with the first letter, which is begin with prayer. And if you didn't download this card, you can. There's a link right here in the notes section. What I want you to do is save that to your desktop, put it on your phone. You can write in the names of the people or the places that God is calling you to bless. And you can use this card as a reminder to pray for them. Put it on your next to your nightstand. Put it in the kitchen next to the coffee pot. Put it on the refrigerator. There's also a link here to a bookmark that you can also download and use to just bring those names to mind so that it will serve as a reminder for who you need to be praying for on a daily basis. So this week, today, we're going to focus on the second letter, which is L, the second practice, if you will, listen. This practice can be a game changer. It can be a game changer in the lives of those who we are called to bless. Now, I'm sure I don't have to convince you that we live in a world where hardly anybody listens, right? Most people are more interested in what they say than is listening to someone else. And there's a famous saying that goes like this: the opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak. Isn't that true? that even when we aren't talking, a lot of times we're not thinking about what the other person is saying. We're thinking about what we're going to say. Now, I struggle with this. Too many times I'm not really listening to people. I'm just queuing up what I'm going to say next. We've all experienced this from others too, haven't we? How many of you have been in a conversation where it felt as though the other person was there but not really there? We all have been part of conversations where we or the other person are saying, yep, but they're not really listening. But if we want to stop hoping that people will love God and love others, and we want to help people to accomplish that, we have to become very intentional about this act of listening. You see, listening is crucial in this Jesus mission. Now, we know that Jesus modeled this for us in some really incredible ways. I mean, he was motivated by his love for everyone he came into contact with. We see Jesus not just performing great miracles or teaching mind-blowing truths, but he was also taking the time again and again to show love in the most practical and simple ways. He listened. In Luke 18, Jesus hears the sounds of a blind beggar calling out on the side of the road. But he doesn't just continue on with his business like everyone else. He stops. He crouches down low. He asks a question, and he actually listens to the man. It's not until after he listens to him that he blesses the man by healing him. Jesus took the time to listen to the people that no one else seemed to care about, the ones everyone else overlooked. Or in John chapter 5, Jesus is walking by a small pool of water. He's outside the city gate. He's surrounded by a swirl of noise and humanity, but he notices a man lying there by the edge of the water, and what does he do? He stops, he asks the man a question, and he listens to the man so he knows how to bless him. Are you starting to see a pattern here? In Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, Jesus sends out the 12 disciples to continue his mission in the surrounding towns, and they go out and they bless hundreds of people. And when they return, here's what happens. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported all they had done and taught. And what does Jesus do? He listens. If we flip to the pages of the Gospels, our attention is naturally drawn to the stories of Jesus doing over-the-top amazing things, like he healed the sick, he fed thousands of hungry people, and he even raised someone from the dead. We tend to remember those exceptional, extraordinary moments. But I want us to understand, and it's important, that we don't overlook the more frequent and ordinary moments. The moments when Jesus pulls up a chair to another person and just listens. Living a life of blessing others, like Jesus blessed others, is not a journey of the spectacular. In fact, I believe it's best lived out in just regular day-to-day life. It's in these regular moments of life where we can pull up within arm's reach of another person and actually to listen to what is going on in their hearts. I think especially in this season, as we come out of the pandemic, we all are meant for community, and so many people are hungry for this opportunity in new and fresh ways. I recently read an amazing story that I think illustrates the importance of getting close enough to listen to people around us in order to bless them. It took place in the neonatal intensive care unit in the early 1990s. A nurse had been watching a newborn for several hours. Suddenly, the baby turns dark blue. The medical team calls for a doctor and a radiologist and prepares to intervene immediately, assuming that the baby's lungs have collapsed. But the nurse is convinced that it's a heart problem. As soon as she saw the baby's color, she suspected that there was an air pocket around the baby's heart that was stopping it from beating. She screamed to her colleagues, "It's the heart!" But they pointed to the heart monitor that showed the baby's heartbeat, that it was beating normally. But she insisted. She pushed their hands away and orders them to be quiet as she places a stethoscope on the child's chest. She stops the swirl of activity and actually listens to the heart of this child. Not a sound. The heart is not beating. A neonatal surgeon enters the room. The radiologist, who has just received the test results, confirms the nurse's diagnostic. The surgeon performs a procedure that slowly releases the air pocket. The baby is safe. Later, the team understood why the monitor had misled them. It was measuring the electrical activity commanding the heartbeats, and this had not stopped. The heart was simply unable to respond to it because of the air pocket pressure. Now, that's an amazing illustration, and it's one we can learn from. You know, how often do we get caught up in the swirl and activity of all the noise and commotion that surrounds us, and we fail to listen to the hearts of the people around us? I mean, here's some questions to ask yourself. When was the last time you asked that person living next door to you just how they're doing? Or when was the last time that you stopped what you were doing at your office and asked the person next to you how they're doing? Or when was the last time that you slowed down enough to listen to the cashier at the store who maybe casually mentioned to you that they had a family member who had cancer? Sometimes the only way that we can bless the people around us, like Jesus and the nurse, is to slow down, to get quiet, to slow all the activity, to quiet the noise, and get within earshot and truly listen. We can't bless the world without listening to people, but we need to also be listening to places. Here's what I mean. If we want to listen to our community or our city, I would encourage you to, if you're online, to just read through the Richland Source. Or if you get the Mansfield News Journal, just take and read through it casually. And use a highlighter. Read these sources. And as you do, make note every time you come across a need that you see that's there. And then as you ponder that need, let that drive your conversations at home with your family members or maybe with your coworkers. And of these needs, the question really could be, how could we actually meet those needs? And in particular, which ones are you passionate about? By reading about our community, we may discover maybe an organization that needs some volunteers. We may learn about a local event that we can plug into. We may learn about a person or a group of people that really needs some help. If we simply listen to our community, I believe it will tell us what it needs. Even those that serve in our space. So one of the needs I know in a conversation we had after Bible study on Thursday was the reality that right now we need some more silverware for our pots and pans ministry. It just seems as though it's hard to find, and so your generosity could help with that. Either looking in your kitchen drawer and seeing maybe some flatware that you're not using that you could deliver and drop off here at the church, or maybe you consider making an online gift even today to help us purchase those items new, slightly used at the local charity store. I want to tell you another story that maybe illustrates this in a really powerful way. There's an author by the name of Michael Frost. He's a church leader, and he spent most of his time helping people discover how to live out this mission of serving Jesus. He tells a story about this missionary group who went to India to serve the poor in a remote village. The group showed up with all sorts of supplies and programs and skilled workers. They were all ready to transform that village to a place of health and vitality. And they went to the people living in what was really a slum and said, "We could build a medical clinic to help take care of the hurting and sick. We could build a school to provide education so the next generation can work their way out of poverty. We could build a church so you gather on the weekends and learn about God. So what do you want us to do for you?" Sounds a lot like the question that Jesus asked. And the people of the village said, "We need a mailbox." The missionary said, "A mailbox? We can give you a school or a church building, and all you want is a mailbox?" And the people said, "Yes, that's really what we're in most need of, is a mailbox." And you see, here's the reality. In India, if you live in a slum, you don't have a mailbox, which means you don't have a zip code, which means that you do not exist on a map. And so even if you are a community of 10 or 20,000 people, if you don't have a zip code, you're not recognized as existing for anything, including social services from the government. So the people didn't want a school, a medical clinic, or a church first. They wanted to be put on the map. They wanted to have an identity. They wanted to become a recognized part of their country. Now, the reality is the missionaries would not have known this unless they had listened. And it was no small task. It took the missionaries 2 years to work through the bureaucracy to get this village registered with a zip code and a mailbox. But once they did, it was at that point that the village began to change. So the question is, are we giving attention to the places God has placed us? Are we really listening? The Apostle Paul knew how to listen in places as well. Listen to what we see here in Acts chapter 17. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." Before Paul proclaims, he observes, he walked and he looked carefully at the culture he was going to address. And once he had, he says this, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." You see, Paul understood this unbelievable importance of learning to pay attention to the place where he was in, leaning into what God might have him do there. Dallas Willard, a great Christian scholar, put it this way, "The first act of love is always the giving of attention. The places we live and work are constantly speaking to us, and we'll hear them if we stop and listen. Whether it's in a neighborhood meeting, whether it's at the school board or at the school office or at the Chamber of Commerce or on the soccer field, if we show up and just listen, we'll hear what God wants us to hear. So here's the challenge. If we're going to bless the world, we have to start, as we did last week, with the letter B. We begin with prayer. And the next is the letter L. We have to listen. We have to listen to the people and the places where we live and work and play. Think about the people and the places that you've written down on this card, the people and the places you have been called to bless. What if, as we begin with prayer, and part of that prayer each morning is simply, "Jesus, help me listen today." And then we listen. And we do that every day. Maybe we'll hear of a practical need that we can easily meet. Maybe we'll hear an emotional need that our presence and friendship will help soothe. Maybe we'll hear a spiritual need and have the opportunity to point someone to Jesus. I mean, think about that. Maybe by just listening, God will open up a door for us to invite someone to come and be here as part of our worship experience on Sunday morning in the building. Or maybe it'll be somebody who we can invite to join us here online. You see, that's how we live out this mission that Jesus has called us to do and be. This is how we move beyond merely hoping people love God and love others, but actually how we help them to love God and love others. Jesus heard one man's voice in a huge crowd. And every day, each of us comes in contact with people who nobody cares about and nobody listens to. And my prayer is that we would be people that have the heart of Jesus, through whom God will change lives and change the world. People who are always praying, "Jesus, help me listen today." And here's the secret of all of this. When we live out these missional practices, when we begin with prayer and we listen, not only will we bless the people and the communities around us, we will be transformed ourselves. We will see and hear more clearly. We will grow in compassion and empathy for others, and we'll get a glimpse of how God is at work. I've heard people say, "Well, I'll serve once I grow up a little bit more. I want my faith to be a little more mature." And what I like to say to that is that one of the ways that God is going to grow and mature us up is by serving, and we're going to talk about that in a couple weeks. You see, the invitation isn't to have it all figured out, to have all of our theological ducks in a row, or to dot every doctrinal I, but really it's to step out in faith and to trust the God who loved us so much he came after us. And the truth is he keeps coming after us time and time again. Because when we learn to truly listen, we'll find that God does a transformative work in us as well. Let's pray.